All right, again, Erev Shabbos. Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our Erev Shabbos Pirkei Avos class learning. Hope everyone is well and enjoying a meaningful week and a meaningful Avo. But as was Hashem, so just a calendar reminder before we get started. Next week, this year is on Monday evening at 7 p.m. It was either that or cancel. So I try very hard not to cancel the Kviyas of Torah. I also try not to change my schedule if possible, but because I have to be out of town. So next week, the shiur is on Monday, September the 4th at 7 p.m. Ba'azur Hashem. It'll be the same Zoom link, and I will post the Zoom information reminder on Monday in the chat so that we all remember. Okay, that's just a calendar announcement. Other than that, because of the Yamim Tovim being on Shabbosos and the weekends, our schedules really doesn't change. So usually I never really have this. This year is such a matan in terms of our Limud Torah. Baruch Hashem, our schedule will continue basically uninterrupted through the month of September. Baruch Hashem. Let's get into our learning. We thank our Shear sponsor tonight very much, someone who is sponsoring for the first time, but she wishes to remain anonymous. This year is being sponsored anonymously in memory of her mother, Hadassah Miriam Bashmuel Yosef, Allah HaShalom, who Shloshim ends this Shabbos. My mother taught JHS special ed for 26 years after raising her own children, earning a master's degree in the process, not formally knowing a word of Torah. My mother chased after chesed all the days of her life, and chased is in capital letters, with her children, grandchildren, relatives, friends, neighbors, employees, colleagues, and the community at large. My mother intuitively understood that her overarching purpose in this world was to benefit others, both through her work and in her personal chasadim that she did, and she accomplished her mission par excellence. We hope and we daven that the shir should be a zchus for the aliyah neshama of Hadassah Miriam Bashmuel Yosef Allah HaHasham on the occasion of her shloshim, the Shabbos, and we thank her family, the anonymous sponsors, very, very much. Tizkul mitzos u'lamaisim tovim. Let us get into our learning. So I think we're doing a Mishnah that I don't believe we've done before. I don't know if it's possible. 3.5 years of counting Kanainahar, but I think. So it is the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Dalet. There's no handout tonight, so I'm just going to be sharing the Mishnah with you. So the Mishnah tells us, Yosi ben Yoezer, Ish Tzureda Omer. Yosi ben Yoezer, a man from Tzureda, the leader of Tzureda, used to say, Yehi beischa beis va'ad l'chachamim. Let your house be a meeting place for Torah scholars. Ve'heve misabak ba'afar raglehem. Ve'heve misabek ba'afar raglehem. You shall become dusty in the dust of their feet. Ve'heve shosa batsama estivrehem. And you shall drink in their words with thirst. Okay, so the Mishnah tells us, Perek Alf Mishnah Dalet, Yosi ben Yoezer, Ish Tzureda Omer, Yehi beischa beis va'ad l'chachamim, Ve'heve misabek ba'afar raglehem, Ve'heve shosa batsama estivrehem. And in English, Yosi ben Yoezer, the leader of Tzureda, used to say, let your house be a meeting place for Torah scholars. You shall become dusty in the dust of their feet, and you shall drink in their words with thirst. So a person has to think to themselves, who do we open our home to? What kind of influences do we bring into our home? What are the type of people who come to meet and congregate in our home? Are we humbling ourselves before the Torah scholars at the dust of their feet? And are we drinking with thirst words of Torah? I begin by quoting the great Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky in his commentary to Pirkei Avos, Vision of the Fathers. He has beautiful insights and a beautiful chiddush as well at the end. Here we go. Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky, Zichrono Livracha, says as follows. Well, being in the company of scholars exposes a person to wisdom. So certainly when a person is in the company of Talmidei Chachamim, he beis v'ad l'chachamim. Talmid Chacham means a student of wisdom. So when a person is in the, even though we as Talmid Chacham, we translate as Torah scholar, but the truth is that Talmid Chacham actually means a student of wisdom. The highest accolade a person can earn is to always be a Talmud. You're always learning more and more Torah. Talmud Chacham, we might translate as Torah scholars, but it's important to point out it actually means a student of wisdom. While being in the company of scholars exposes a person to wisdom, there is the possibility that constant association with scholars may result in one's becoming complacent So a very interesting perspective. Maybe you won't appreciate as much the environment that you are in because you are surrounded by it all the time. So if you're in an environment which is full of sin, so that becomes nasa lokator, that becomes an environment that you're used to, you become complacent. And lahavda, could you imagine if you're in an environment surrounded by Torah scholars all the time, then maybe chas v'sham, you become complacent to that as well. This happens to me often, you know. I just thought of a source that obviously I didn't think of when I was preparing, or I would have it on the table with me, so I'm going to get another sefer. Okay, I'm already interrupting Rabbi Dr. Yehudim Day Tursky. I didn't even finish a full sentence, actually. I'm still in the middle of this first sentence. One second. I'm looking for a quote from the Rav. Here we go. I believe that's here. That's what I'm looking for. There we go. Okay. I'm interrupting Rabbi Dr. Tversky. I just started. To quote from Rav Soloveitchik in the Sefer Vision and Leadership. Okay. So what we just read is that Rabbi Dr. Tversky is telling us, while being in the company of scholars, and we already pointed out that Talmid Chachamim does not actually mean Torah scholar, it means a student of wisdom. While being in the company of scholars, the Mishnah says, Beis Vad Chachamim exposes a person to wisdom. There is a possibility that a constant association with Torah scholars may result in one's becoming complacent. You could think, how could that be possible? But it's human nature that we become accustomed to what we are surrounded by, losing one's enthusiasm for learning, and perhaps even becoming somewhat bored. There's a Yiddish saying, I don't know it in Yiddish, he doesn't write it in Yiddish, even roasted meat can lose its taste if it becomes a regular part of one's diet. Does anyone know that Yiddish expression in Yiddish? Even roasted meat can lose its taste if it becomes a regular part of one's diet. This reminded me, only while I'm speaking, of a quote from Rav Soloveitchik, a beautiful piece by Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, the Rav Zatzal, in Vision and Leadership. There is an old, and he's really reflecting on the fact that what we become accustomed to, we don't appreciate, which is Rabbi Dr. Tversky saying is a danger. If your house is constantly surrounded by Torah scholars, or Torah scholars, I should say, are part and parcel of your home, which is a beautiful feature, you have to make sure to not lose your appreciation for that. There is an old idea that one begins to appreciate one's most precious treasure, whether it's freedom, health, parents, or friendship, only after one loses it, says the Rav. The household of Yaakov did not appreciate Avram. I know it from my own childhood. Many times I could not understand what was so great about our household, says the Rav. I was brought up in a house of rabbis, in a scholarly home. That's a direct quote. I was brought up in a house of rabbis, in a scholarly home. But I used to find fault with my father, his father's Rav Moshe, Zatzal, with my grandfather, Rav Chaim Brisker, and so forth. No one could convince me. I found fault until I spent a number of years amongst Gentiles, amongst Germans. I spent my time among the best of society in the academic community. I saw many people who were supposedly very ethical and moral, but I began to compare them with my father, with my grandfather, and I realized the difference. My confrontation with the non-Jewish society opened up a new world for me, says the Rav. It was as if a shining star appeared on the horizon, as if a comet suddenly exploded. Did anyone see the supermoon last night? Go outside. You want to hear something really cool? Whoa. One of my kids was at the beach today, and they called me and texted me, there's something wrong with the water. It's so far back. And then I saw on FaceTime that the water, the tide was so low, I can't even describe how far back it was. I said, well, I hope there's not a tsunami coming, because that's what usually happens when there's a tsunami. And they showed me that on the shore, it was like littered with crabs and empty seashells. I mean, it was just unbelievable how far the tide was back. And I didn't know what it was, and I Googled it. It has to do with the supermoon. It's so cool. Hashem's natural world is unbelievable. It's mind-boggling. When the moon, you could Google it and find it, when the moon is closest to the earth, I don't know, it affects the tides. The high tides will be very high and the low tides will be very low. It's just amazing. Go see it tonight if you didn't see it last night. It was as if a shining star, and don't forget to say, Marabu Masech Hashem Kula Bechach Masisa Ma'arz Kinanecha, Ve'esha Ma'ar HaGadol L'mshalas Hayan, Ve'esha Ma'ar HaKatan L'mshalas HaLayla Ve'esha Kochavim. It was as if a shining star had appeared on the horizon, as if a comet had suddenly exploded. I realized that my grandfather, Rav Chaim, would have acted differently. and my father would have helped this person. In order to appreciate good, you need to be confronted with evil. In order to appreciate traditional Jewish charity, you need to be confronted with stinginess and cruelty. In order to appreciate the truthfulness and veracity with which the halacha requires of every person, you need to view how politicians act. Colors can be identified only by comparing varying shades. The same is true regarding morality. Appreciation is possible when you are confronted with the opposite. And this is exactly what the Almighty wanted Yosef to see. The Sefer is Essays on Moshe and Yosef. Why was Yosef taken out of his home and put into the house of Potiphar, put down into Egypt, the most lewd place in the world? But this piece by Rabbi Dr. Twersky reminds me of this piece by the Rav. The household of Yaakov did not appreciate Avram. I know it from my own childhood. Many times I could not understand what was so great about our household. I was brought up in a house of rabbis, a scholarly home, but I used to find fault with my father, fault with my grandfather, and so forth. No one could convince me until I spent a number of years amongst the Gentiles, the Germans. My confrontation with non-Jewish society opened up a new world for me. It was as if a shining star appeared on the horizon. A comet suddenly exploded. I realized my grandfather, Rav Chaim, would have acted so differently than this person. My father would have helped this person. In order to appreciate good, you need to be confronted with evil. Colors can be identified by comparing varying shades. The same is true regarding morality. Appreciation is possible when you are confronted with the opposite, says Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal. So now let's go back to Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Twersky. Don't forget the Mishnah we're doing. Yossi ben Yoezer, Yishtrei da Omer, Yehi Beis HaBeis Va'ad Lechachamim. While being in the company of scholars exposes a person to wisdom, there is the possibility that constant association with scholars may result in one's becoming complacent, losing one's enthusiasm for learning, and perhaps even becoming somewhat bored. There is a Yiddish saying, even roasted meat can lose its taste if it becomes part of one's regular diet. It's an interesting hashkafa and perspective, and it really lines up with what Rav Soloveitchik says. I didn't appreciate my father's home, the house of Rabbanim that I came from, because I thought that's how every house was. That's what I was surrounded with by all the time. So if someone's house is a Beis Vad Lachachamim, it's gewaldik. But you have to make sure that your appreciation for what you are witnessing does not wane over time. The proper attitude towards Torah, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky, is the exact opposite. Rashi tells us, "Vayu advarim ha'ela sharanochi mitzavcha hayom alavavecha." What is hayom? It should be "Vayu advarim sharanochi mitzavcha alavavecha v'shinantem avinecha." What's hayom? Every day it has to be new, as if you just received it. It shouldn't be like an old edict, like an antiquated letter, like something you heard 100 times before. This is possible only if one has a proper perspective of Torah. I found this to be interesting. Especially as a teacher and speaker, and sometimes this lamaisa happens. Rabbi Dr. Twersky doesn't approve, interestingly. Nechama Leibowitz used to say, when people would fall asleep in her shiur, she would say, look how tired they are and they still want to learn Torah. Rabbi Dr. Twersky says something different. It's interesting. It is not unusual for people to nod off during a lecture. This, by the way, the same thing happened to Rabbi Akiva. You know, the famous Rabbi Akiva was darshaning the lecture and his students fell asleep, and he told them, what did Esther, the daughter of who ruled over 127 provinces, see? That she was the daughter of Sarah 127 years. Okay. So Rabbi Zev left and he tells it over. He says, you see, things haven't changed much in 2000 years. They were falling asleep from Rabbi Kiva's lecture and they're still falling asleep today. Anyway, the Maisa. It is not unusual for people to nod off during a lecture, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky. This may occur even if the lecturer is an outstanding orator. Attentiveness depends more on the attitude of the student than on the skill of the instructor. Listen what he says. If a person was in a precarious situation and someone was giving him instructions on how to save his life, he would certainly remain attentive and listen carefully, paying attention and noting every word. I thought it was just a very interesting perspective. Kihu chayecha v'orach yamecha v'charta v'chayim v'mantecha ata v'zorecha acharecha. Someone's giving you the elixir of life. If we appreciate that someone is giving us life, of course we're going to be attentive. Without Torah, we would be drowning in this world. Interesting perspective. We refer to the Torah as the Eitz Chaim, the Torah of life. And if we fully appreciated it as sustaining us in life, we would hardly become complacent. The water we drink today is not noticeably different in taste than the water of yesterday or that of the past years. But if you are very thirsty, that cup of water is refreshing and delicious, like the first cup of water you ever had. Because remember, the Mishnah says, Veheve shosa batsama estivrehim. You must drink in thirst their words. How does a person feel when he's so, so thirsty? I'm not talking about when, you know, you're carrying around a water bottle all day. It's like really hot and you finally come inside and you have a drink after 2 hours and it's cold and it's crisp. It feels like the best drink of water you ever had. You've had water before. But it's so refreshing. What is Torah? Torah is water. Moshe threw the stick into the water and it became sweet. He threw the stick in Vayimtiku Hamayim in Bashalach Perak Tesvav right after Kriyas Yamsuf Shiras Hayam. So if we saw that Torah is life-giving water, if Torah is the instruction manual for survival, not only for intellectual stimulation, not only for tikkun amidos, not only for halacha, Torah is the survival guide to this world. How are you going to survive here? You have to know what to do to survive. It's not only about physically breathing. It's not only about physically going for exercise walk. Those are all very important. It's not only about eating properly. Torah is life. It's the instruction manual for how you can survive this world. How could you become complacent? So on the one hand, of course, beis chabeis va'ad chachamim, but the more you immerse yourself in Torah, there is a danger that you may become complacent, chas v'sham. And I think that it's just very interesting, Rav Soloveitchik says that in his home, he didn't appreciate it. Rav Chaim Brisker, his grandfather, Rav Elie Pruzhaner, his other grandfather, Rav Elie Feinstein, first cousin of Rav Moshe Zatzal, is the Rav's other grandfather. His great-grandfather is the Beis Halevi, his father's Rav Moshe. He says, I didn't appreciate it. He himself says, I didn't appreciate it. So no one should say, oh, this doesn't relate to me. When a person is so immersed in Torah, you may become complacent. And that's why the Pasuk makes a point of saying, who's a Torah talking to? Not one yachid, all of us. You have to work to make sure that it is new for you every single day. Thirst is a sensation that we feel when the body lacks water, says Rabbi Dr. Swirsky, and the dehydrated tissues generate a craving for water. Drinking the wisdom of scholars with thirst, v'heve shose batsama estivrehem. The craving for Torah will occur only if one knows how much one is in need of it and how much one is actually lacking. The first thing you need when your house becomes a beis v'ad l'chachamim, when you become a person who is misabek ba'afar raglehem, when you become a person who is athirst for learning Torah, the first thing you need is a craving. You need to want it. Rav Mordechai Gifter, the Rav Mordechai Gifter art school biography, when he was a little boy, he's known as an American-born God of Rosh Hashiva. Tells actually, he was Rabbi Zavlov's Rosh Hashiva. Rabbi Zavlov say, my Rosh Hashiva of Gifter's Atzal. So when he was a little boy, I've told you this before, Rav Shimon Shkab came to America. Rav Gifter got a bracha from him. And Rav Shimon Shkab's bracha to Rav Gifter was, you should always want to learn. You should always have a thirst and a hunger for Torah. And not to become complacent, always want to learn. Every day see it like new. Every day you should be excited by what you're learning. He points out now something very interesting. If we look closely at the syntax of the Mishnah, we will note that it reads, drink the words of scholars, batsama, with thirst. Drink the words of the scholars with thirst. The metaphor comparing eagerness to learn with thirst should more accurately we have read, kitsama, drink the words of scholars as one in thirst. How come it says drink the words of the scholars with thirst? 1 second. And it doesn't say drink the words of the scholar as one in thirst, which would convey the concept of having an intense desire for knowledge as a thirsty person for it. It's actually the opposite. I was just thinking it was the opposite of Avraham Avinu. And Perikir Chas of Bereshis, Hu Yoshev Pesach Ha'ol Kuchom, Ve'al V'shem Ba'aloni Mami, Perikir Chas Pesach Av, Hu Yoshev Pesach Ha'ol Kichom Hayam. So there it's Kichom Hayam, and the Shaila is, why doesn't it say Bichom Hayam? It should say Avraham Avinu was sitting in the tent in the heat of the day. But it says he was sitting in the at the entrance to the tent like the heat of the day. That's like the heat of the day. So there in the Pasuk, it's the opposite of the Mishnah. Here it's Batsama. Why isn't it Kitsama? There it is Kicham Hayam, and it's not Bicham Hayam. So since I brought it up, and it also relates to the Aliyah Neshama of Hadas Samir and Bashmo Yosef, who chased after Chasad. Beautiful var from the Kli Yakar. the Kli Yakar says to say for Bereshis Perek Yudches Pasuk Av. It's the Kli Yakar's question, not my question. Why does it say V'hu Yoshev Pesach Ha'ol Kichom Hayab? And he sat at the entrance to the tent, like the heat of the day. That's not how he sat at the entrance to his tent. He sat at the entrance of the tent, Bachayam, in the heat of the day. If you go sit outside, you're in the heat of the day. You're not like the heat of the day. Why does it say that? So the Kli Yakar darshan so beautifully. The Sugya is teaching us about what it means to do chesed. Avram Avinu is the Baal Chesed par excellence. Just like the sun heats everyone in it and everything under it without discrimination, Avram Avinu did chesed to everyone and for anyone in need without discrimination. So he sat at the entrance to his tent like the sun of the day. Just like this, doesn't matter if you're the biggest tzaddik or the worst rasha, I mean, it does matter. But in terms of being heated by the sun, if you go outside in the heat of the sun, whether you're a tzaddik or rasha or beinoni, you're going to get hot because it's hot. Avraham Avinu sat kichom hayom. He was like the heat of the day, just like the sunshine does not discriminate. It's going to heat everyone who's under it. That's how Avram Avinu sat at the entrance to his tent. He wanted to do chesed with everyone. Oh, and when he sees three idol worshippers who have actually dust of feet, dust of avodah zara on their feet, he runs after and he brings them into his home. He was misabik ba'afar ragleihem to do chesed. He was shosa b'tzam es divrayim to be a machnis archim. His house was truly based chabayis vad l'chachamim to the chacham of Torah. So Rabbi Dr. Tursky points out that here it's the opposite. You have to be very medactic with every word of Lashon HaKodesh in Chumash, and you have to be very medactic with every word of the Gemara as well, of the Mishnah, of the Torah Shabbat Peh, which was also given to Moshe at Har Sinai. If we look closely at the syntax of the Mishnah, we will note that it reads, drink the words of the scholars, Batsama, with thirst. The metaphor comparing eagerness to learn with thirst should more accurately have read, the Hevei Shosa Kitsama Estivreim, drink the words of scholars as if you are thirsty, which would convey the concept of having an intense desire for knowledge as a thirsty person for water. The reason batsama with thirst is used seems to be a bit awkward. He quotes a beautiful var from Rav Chaim Volozhiner. Rav Chaim Volozhiner, who died in the early 1800s, he's known as really the father of the modern day yeshiva system, if you could use such a term. I don't mean modern day, I mean the father of yeshiva system as we know today, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, the Volozhiner yeshiva. Rav Chaim Volozhiner says the reason for this wording is as follows. When a thirsty person satisfies his thirst with water, his craving for water disappears. Like, isn't it true? If you're very, very, very thirsty and you were outside and it's boiling hot for 2 hours and you just came, it was July this summer, and you came inside, you didn't have water, and you're so thirsty, at a certain point you want to stop drinking water. It's very nice, you were very thirsty and you were very hot. You kachnama amayim, and they brought you water. You don't want to keep drinking water forever. You need to stop. How many water bottles could you drink in a cup? 1, 2, 3, at a certain point, can't you? In fact, if you drink too much, you could die. You need to stop drinking water. When a thirsty person satisfies his thirst with water, his craving for water disappears. Not so the knowledge for Torah. Our desire for knowledge should never be satiated. To the contrary, the more we learn, the more eager we should be to learn more. Hence, in contrast to someone with a parched throat, our thirst for knowledge should never be alleviated. With physical water, there's a point where it's enough. Dayenu. It just has, that's how Hashem created our bodies. But with Torah, there's never dayenu. Never dayenu. Therefore, we should learn with thirst, meaning we always retain our craving for wisdom. Drink the words of the scholar Batsama as if one who is with thirst. Why? Because with thirst indicates you need the water. Not you got the water, you finished the water, you drank the water. You want more and more. You are constantly thirsty when it comes to the words of Torah. And you're learning with thirst that never dissipates, because when it comes to Torah. Where did I hear this mashal? I don't remember who said it. Which teacher? If you remember, you could tell me if you know. That when a person first starts learning Torah, it's like someone who's standing on the shore of, let's say, the Atlantic Ocean. Okay, my child was on the beach and they saw, there's a certain amount of what you could see. And after that, you can't see anymore. High tide, low tide, whatever. And you think, oh, it's not so much. It's not so big. That's all there is. I mean, it's big, but like I could see, you know, let's say you're standing and you're looking whatever directions. If you're standing here on the Atlantic, so you could see east, south, west. The north is behind you. Okay. Because you're only standing at the shore. You haven't yet delved into the Yam HaTorah. But when you start to sail farther and farther and farther out into the sea, the farther out you go, the more vast you realize Torah is. If you're just on the shore, okay, nice for Torah, Yashikach, because you don't have such a thirst for Torah, because you don't realize how huge it is. You don't realize how vast, how profound, how infinite, how beyond human comprehension. It's unbelievable. So you're standing by the shore, so you think it's nice. I mean, it's big. It's a nice, you know, it's a nice ocean. I don't think I could ever get to all the directions, but I could see the horizons. Could understand why in the olden days they thought the world was flat. But then you sail out. You say, well, you know, this is really much bigger than I thought. And then you sail a little more. And you say, this is much bigger than I thought. And you sail a little more. And you say, this never ends. It goes on forever and it goes down to forever. That's the Yam HaTorah. The more you immerse yourself in Torah, the more your ahava, your cheshach, your tzama for Torah should be. We must always be on guard never to become complacent to the gift of Torah. We live in a time, Baruch Hodu Hashem Kitov, Kili Olam Chasta. We live in a time where so much Torah is so accessible to us all the time. Baruch Hashem. Merely, Mamash Baruch Hashem. Zayam Asa Hashem Nagila V'Nismichavo. There's so much Torah accessible to us all the time. In person, Zoom, online, live stream. We have to make sure that every day, we say the brachos of Torah in the morning. La'asok b'divrei Torah. It's a new day. Hanosein Torah la'amo Yisrael. Va'arav na'ashem elokeinu. We always have to be like we're with thirst. Your thirst should never be quenched for Torah. All the other things we do in this world, because we have to do them, should only be to fuel limud Torah, asiyas haTorah, and ahavas Torah. Yosi ben Yo'ezer, Ish Tzreda Omer, Yehi Beischa Beis Va'ad L'Chachamim. Your house should be a meeting place for Torah scholars. V'Hevei Mis'abik Ba'afar Aglehem. And you should cling to the dust of their feet. You should be dusty in the dust of their feet. V'Hevei Shosa Batzama Estivreya. And you should drink with constant thirst. Just like a person who has with thirst is always with thirst, so he always needs more water. That's who you should be drinking Torah. 1 second. Perhaps you could relate it to the fight of Yaakov with the Malach on the river Yabok, Bereishis Perek Lamed Beis. We know, Vayivasar Yaakov Levado, Vayaveik Ish Imo Ad Alos Hashachar, Vayarkilo Yachogo, Shacheinikala Shachar, Giranesha, Vayaveik Ish Imo Ad Alos Hashachar. Yaakov Avinu is in a mortal fight of combat for his life. It was Esav. What does Esav want us to not have? Esav doesn't want us to have Torah. Esav wants to destroy what other Romans destroy. First, they destroy the Beis HaMikdash, and then the Asar Ugan Malchus, the Torah scholars. According to Wamsha, Rabbi Akiva's students, you've heard me say this before, right? It's a Shas HaShmad. It was the Romans who killed them all. The Romans didn't just want to destroy the bricks and stones of the Beis HaMikdash. I'm not going to interrupt for it to bring you a piece of the Rav, but the Rav has a whole piece on this, and the Lord is righteous in all his ways. They wanted to uproot Torah from our nation. Yaakov Avinu, in fighting with the Sar Shel Esav, was fighting the fight of his life for the survival of Torah and Klal Yisrael. The angel was even fighting for the dust of Torah. Yaakov was the Ishtam Yosheva Olim. Yaakov was sitting in the Yeshiva Shem, Yeshiva Ever. And even the avak of Torah, they don't want us to have. They don't even want us to have a dust of Torah. No iota of Torah should be in our lives. We have to counteract that by even clinging to the dust of the feet of Torah scholars. That's how they're great they are compared to what we are. Even the dust of their feet we want to have. Actually, my son told me, he's a Zecher Tzadvik Kol Shavracha, the Rosh Yeshiva of Huttner appointed him, Chaim Berlin, right? Around Shachter, yeah. Zecher Tzadik Kaddish Levracha. It was just the Levaya. So on Sunday, my son called to say that Darucha, they were going to the Levaya. And they took the boys to the field, to the Beis HaChayim. And my son said when he got there, somehow he was able to stand right at the front. And he said, there are a lot of people, there started to be some pushing. I said, was it dangerous? You know, he's like, no, mammy, it was fine. And they said, everybody gets one shovel, because there were so many people who wanted the kavod, one shovel. And my son said he was grateful for the zechus to be malava the mace and kiver mesev of Agada B'Torah, Tremez Rosh Hashiva, Havemis Abig Ba'afar Aglaim. And he said he stayed near the friend and he was able to have the zechus of being kivur mesim for the Rosh Hashiva Zatzal. You should even want the dust that surrounds them. That alone we recognize is such a tremendous chus. Any iota that comes from their mouth, any way we can learn from them, for the grandest things to the smallest things. And we have to ask ourselves, we're coming up to a new year, Bezras Hashem, Tafshin Pei Dalet. We have to ask ourselves, what are our goals in life? What has our past year been like? What is the standard we set for the new year? Where are we coming from and where are we headed? Who are the people that we surround ourselves with? What are the influences our home is open to? What kind of dust are we thirsty and hungry for? Are we with a constant thirst for more and more Torah? Or chas v'sham, do we come complacent to this thirst? And the answer, of course, is we have to make our priorities. We should always be excited, enthusiastic, Rav Shkop said to a young Rav Mordechai Gifter, should always want to learn. I want to quote a fascinating Avos Rabbi Nassim, which is a brisa on Pirkei Avos. The ancient brisa that illuminates the teaching of Pirkei Avos, Avos Rabbi Nassim. So Avos Rabbi Nassim tells us the narrative as to how Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus became such a Talmud Chacham. The Baraisa is holding up Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus as a model for someone who is misabek ba'afar aglehem. Right. So what the Baraisa does is it takes the Mishnah, different teachings from the Mishnah, and expounds further details that's not codified in the Mishnah itself. So this is an illustration, an illumination, and an elucidation on Vehevi Misabik Ba'afa Raglehem. An example of this was Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus. This is Avos Rabbi Nassim Vav Gimel, 6-3. It's very interesting. What is Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus' origin? Ma hayat chilaso Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus. Again, the Braisa, the Avos Rabbi Nassim, is quoting this as a shining example of what it means to be Misabek Ba'afar Raglehem. Okay, we learn the Mishnah, Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky, Rabbi Asher Ber Soloveitchik Zatzal. Now we're our own commentary, and now we're going to Avos Rabbi Nassim. Ma hayat chilaso Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus. What was the origin of Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus? Ben Eshu Mishtaim Shana Haya Velo Lamed Torah. He was 22 years old and he had never learned Torah. Okay. Rabbi Akiva was 40, so he has some time. But at the age of 22, he realized he wants to turn his life around. Pam Achash Amar Eleich Ve'almot Torah Lefnei Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. He decided he's going to go learn Torah by Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. He was 22, he never learned. Amar lo Aviv Hyrcanus, his father Hyrcanus didn't like the plan. His father Hyrcanus says, "I ata to'im ad shetachrosh milo ma'ana. You will not taste a thing before you plow a furrow's length." The art school, my Avos Rabbi Nassim has the top is Avos Rabbi Nassim, and the bottom, like the art school text, is Avos Rabbi Nassim with English and then elucidation. Beautiful sefer. This was Hyrcanus' way of expressing displeasure at his son's idea. He doubted a grown man, 22, with such a weak background in learning could make up for lost time and become an accomplished scholar. So his father wasn't happy about the plan. Hishkin v'charash melo ma'ana. While in obedience to his father, Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus woke up early the next morning and he plowed what he had to plow. Amru Oshayam Erev Shabbos Haya, they said that day was Erev Shabbos. Rather than encountering his father and discussing the matter, he went and ate the Sabbath meal at the table of his father-in-law. Okay. The Yesh Omrim Lo Tam Klum Mishesh Shaos Erev Shabbos Ad Shesh Shaos Shamotei Shabbos. Some say no, he did not taste the thing. He didn't want to encounter his father. He mamash didn't taste the thing from noon of Shabbos Eve till noon of Motzei Shabbos, the day after Shabbos. Lamaisa, for that Shabbos, he avoided his father. Whether he went to be, but he plowed like his father said. Whether he spent the Shabbos at his father-in-law or he just abstained from eating. You're going to ask me halacha questions. How could he do that? We're not getting into that. I'm teaching what the Braisa says. But an example of what it means to be misabik ba'afar aglayim v'haveh shosa b'tzames devrehim. What does it mean to be thirsty for the words of Torah? You can never have enough. With thirst. Someone who is with thirst is never, thirst is never quenched. Kishu holeich b'derech ra even shedima unitala unasla soch pif. As he was walking along the road, he saw a stone that looked like an old piece of bread. And in his great hunger, he took it and he put it in his mouth. Yesh armim gilele habakar haya. Some say it wasn't a stone, it was actually a dried piece of dung, D-U-N-G. Gilele, when we say v'havir gululim in ha'aretz, it's a word for avodah zarah, but it actually means excrement. V'havir gululim min ha'aretz, that's what avodah zarah is. Yesh armim gilele habakar haya. It was dung from a cow. That's how hungry he was. Halach v'lan b'achsanya shelo. He reached Jerusalem and he went and he lodged at the home of his hosts. Okay. Halach v'yashav lo lefnei Rabban Yoch. So look what he went to. Look at the lengths he went to hear Torah. Look how far he went to access what I want to say that sometimes we take for granted. We live in a time, it's a global community now. We're all connected. You don't even have to live in a community geographically where there's a lot of Torah to have access to Torah all the time. You could live anywhere in the world and access Torah, Baruch Hashem, all the time. It doesn't even, not so much Mesiras Nefesh anymore for Torah. It's so easy to get it, to have it, to benefit from it, to learn it. So you have to strengthen your passion. Make sure you always want it and your desire for it should not weaken. So he went and he sat at the home of his hosts. Halach v'yashuv lo lefnei Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai b'Yerushalayim ad sheyatza reach ra mipiv. The next day he went to the yeshiva. He sat before Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai until a bad odor came from his mouth. What does that mean? Artscroll footnote, because he had not eaten for a long time. Amar lo Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Eliezer b'ni klum sa'adata hayam. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai realized that something was going on and he said, my son Eliezer, did you eat today? Shasak, he was quiet. Shuv Amar lo, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai asked again. Vishasak, he was quiet. Shalach v'karalach sanya shal. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai went and he called the hosts and he said, Klum sa'ad Eliezer atzichem? Did Eliezer ben Harkonus eat anything by your house? They said, Amarnu shama eitzer Rabbi Hayeso eitz. They said, no, we thought maybe he's dining with the master. He didn't eat by our house. We thought maybe he's eating with you. Amar Laham, Rabbi Yochanan replied, Afani Amarti, Shema Etzecham Yeshad. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, you thought he's eating with me? I thought he's eating with you. Who did he eat with? Bein you, vein neichem, ibadnu es Rabbi Elazar ben Harkonus min ha'emza. Between me and between you, we almost caused Rabbi Elazar ben Harkonus to die. Ibadnu, we lost him. Amar lo, kashem shiatzo lecha reach ram epicha, kach yitze lecha shem tov betor. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai then gave Rabbi Elazar ben Harkonus a bracha. Just as a bad odor emerged from your mouth because you were hungry for food, a good name of Torah should emerge for you from you because you're hungry for Torah. Shama alav Hyrcanus aviv. Oh! Even in the olden days, word travels. And Hyrcanus heard, Shahayel omi Torah, it's Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And Hyrcanus heard that his son defied him and went to, he didn't really defy him, by the way. His father said, if you could plow a furrow of a field, you could go. He did it. He heard that his son is studying Torah by Yochanan ben Zakkai. Amar, Eilich va'adir Eliezer b'ni min nechasai. I am going to Jerusalem and I will publicly disinherit Eliezer, my son, from my estate. Amru, Oshayam Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Yoshe v'darish b'Yerushalayim. That very day, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was sitting and he was darshaning in Jerusalem. He was giving a Torah lecture. V'chol gedole Yisrael yoshvin lefanav. And all the Gedolei Yisrael who were Tzama, B'shosa, B'tzames, Divrei, were sitting before Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and they were drinking in his words. He's giving the shir. Shama alav, Shabaho, Shivlo, Shomrin. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai heard that Hyrcanus had came. Shama alav, Shabah, when he heard that Hyrcanus came, Ho, Shivlo, Shomrin. He put up special ushers, guards. Amar lahem im bali shev al tenichuhu. If he comes to sit down in this row, do not let him sit here. Hu bali shev, Hyrcanus came to sit down, and they didn't let him sit. Halach midaleg va'ola va'holech ad shigiu eitzel ben tzitzis hakasas eitzel nakdimon ben gurion ve'eitzel ben kalba savua. He finally keeps advancing towards the front. The ushers will not let him sit down. This is the father of Eliezer. This is Hyrcanus, who came to publicly disavow and disown his son. And he sits down next to Ben Tzitzis Hakeses, Nakdimon Ben Gurion, and Kalba Savua. Why do we know him? Father Na'av, Rabbi Akiva. These are the three wealthiest men in Jerusalem. Hayayoshe Beneim, so he had nowhere else to sit. So finally, he just sits between them. Umirates, and he's trembling. He can't believe the presence that he's in. Amu, also hayom nason ein of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Eliezer, v'amar lo pesach uderosh. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai looks at Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, whose father is trembling because he's sitting amongst the three richest men of Jerusalem. And the Rabbi, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, says to Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, pesach, open up, uderosh, darshan, stand up and give shir. Amar lo, ein yochel iftoach. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus said to his Rebbe, I can't do this. Dachakolav, he pressured him, he pushed him. Udichakuhu hatamidim. And the other Talmidim pressured him also. Amad v'darash, he stood up and he started to darshan. Bidvarim shalosham asan ozan me'olam. He said the most beautiful divrei Torah was never even heard in the world before. Kol davar dav v'davar shuyatsim epiv, amad Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai unishako al rosho. Every chiddush, every word of Torah that Eliezer ben Hyrcanus said, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai stood up in the yeshiva, in public, and he gave his Talmud a kiss on his head. But Amar lo Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer said, Rabbi, my Rabbi, emes lemadetani, Rabbi, you taught me the truth, don't give me a kiss, I should be giving you a kiss. If I'm able to darshan on this level of Torah, it's not because I'm so great, it's because you're so great, and I came with such a thirst for your Torah, and I came to cling to the dust of your feet. I picked up cow dung on my way. I was so hungry. I picked up a stone. I tried to eat it because I wanted to fight the fight of Esav, fight the fight of Yaakov against Esav. I wanted to be Da'isavek ish imo ad alas hashachar. And Rashi says there, I just thought of something. Where does the dust go up to? Ad kisei hakavod, hayu maldin afar beraglem ad kisei hakavod. When a Yid fights the battle of Torah, whether it's with Esav himself, Chas v'Shalom, or with his Yetzer Hara, Chas v'Shalom, which I'm sure we're all familiar with, and you manage and you don't give up and you fight the whole night and you desire the Torah and you fight for the Torah, goes up to the Kisei HaKavod. Goes up to the Kisei HaKavod, like Yaakov Ishtam Yoshev Ohalim. And every word that he said, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was giving him a kiss on his forehead. And he said, Rabbi, emes limadetani, it's not my Torah, it's your Torah. You taught me the truth. Now, who's in the audience, along with the three wealthiest men in Jerusalem? His father. Why did his father come here? Because he came to disown his son. You're wasting your time. You're sitting in yeshiva. You're clinging to their dust of their feet. But Amar, Ad shelo higias mamatzis, Amar Hyrcanus aviv alaglav. Before it was time to leave yeshiva, it wasn't lunchtime yet, it wasn't Beinaz Manim yet, Hyrcanus, his father, gets up and upon his feet. Va'amar, and he says, Rabosai. He bangs on the podium. He says, I have an announcement to make. I'm here to disown my son. Anilo basi ela lahadir Eliezer b'ni minichasai. You know why I came here? I came here to disinherit Eliezer, my son, from my estate. Achshav, kol nechasai yunisunin le'Eliezer b'ni. And now that I've witnessed what just happened here, I've changed my mind. All of my possessions will be given to Eliezer, my son, whereas all of his brothers who urged me to punish him shall be disregarded, and they will receive no portion of my property at all. The article footnote points out that in Medrash Bereishis Rabbah, the Medrash there relates, Rabbi Eliezer respectfully declined the gift and resolved to accept an equal share along with his brothers, even though they urged father to punish him. As we stand on the cusp of a new year, we have to ask ourselves, what do we allow into our homes? What are we thirsty for? Do we continue to appreciate V'hivdi lanu min hatayim. Baruch Hu Elokeinu shebanu l'chvodo. V'hivdi lanu min hatayim. v'nasan lanu Torah's emes, v'chaye olam nata b'sochenu, hu yiftach libenu b'sorosa. Rabbi Yossi ben Yo'ezer, ish tzreda omer, yihi beischa beis v'ad l'chachamim, v'heve mis'abik ba'afar raglehem, v'heve shosa b'tzama estivrehem. As we approach the new year, 2 weeks, Aryam Adirusha Abi Yu'ab, Ezra Sashem, we must recommit ourselves to this divine gift. HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'kvodo v'atzmo kulo tova, bestowed upon mortal man. The greatest gift in the world is the gift of Torah. Let us always appreciate it. Hayom, every single day it's new. Let us cling to its dust so that our desire, our strivings, our mechamta shel Torah reaches up to the kisei hakavod. The shir should be as chos for the aliyah neshama and zechira the tova for Hadassah and Miriam, Bashmuel Yosef, Allah HaShalom, Bushloshim is on the Shabbos. We thank her family who wants to remain anonymous very, very much. I wish you a gevaldik, beautiful, uplifting Shabbos Kodesh, unless you're joining me tomorrow morning in shir, then I'll wish it to you again. And next week, Pirkei Avos is on Monday evening at 7 p.m. Ba'ezros Hashem. Kol Tov, thank you so much.